Are you ready? Yeah, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DGEN Nation fam, what is going on? What is happening? It's the DGEN Nation pod coming to you for the NFL DFS Wildcard Saturday slate. Now, I know that what you guys are going to be saying, hold up, there's a Sunday slate too. Yes, we know that. We're about to get this Saturday slate to you guys, and then we're going to get the Sunday slate to you as well. Two shows for the price of one for you coming at you, episode 97 this week. And we got a special guest that we're going to get into. One of your hosts here, Ryan Alexander underscore W is where you can find me on Twitter, joined by my two usual co-hosts there, the usual suspects, the godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Rat 13. And then our boy, Maddie Buckets, Maddie DFS, Maddie 2v2 at Maddie DFS is where you can find him on Twitter, Mr. Maddie D. And our guest today, the one and only Derek Brown. Mr. D Bro underscore FFB is where you can find him on Twitter. Follow him. He's got the work coming at you from FTN, one half of the Chalk Fade, I believe, right? Podcast there with Adam Pfeiffer. So, Derek, we're happy to have you, man. Usually you're hitting us up in chat when you're not coming on for these special slates. Because it's Wild Card weekend, you know we had to get you on, brother.
Dude, I'm either in chat. Y'all got me up late. I'm like writing articles. Like I got this plan on the side. That way I can sit here and make fun of Maddie wearing Dallas Cowboys sock hats in previous.
Yeah, whatever.
Dude, I'm just calling like I see it, man. You wore it. I can't make fun of it. I mean, it happened. But no, man, thank y'all for having me back. This could be a blast. I mean, I feel like every playoff, every holiday slate, we do this, so we got to run it back for this one, man. Come on, we got six games.
At least my sock hat had a logo on it.
Yes, a very ugly and terrible logo, but yes, that logo. You are right, sir.
Man, Maddie was beating that drum hard.
Yeah, he was. All that Andy Dalton love, yeah, man. He was feeling it.
The drumstick snap.
The Kool-Aid.
And the drum hard.
Oh my goodness. Well, guys, we got the NFL DFS here. It's wild card slate. You know how we love that. This is going to be a fun one. And you know, we could talk about it with DraftKings for a long time, but you know, they split it up into two, three gamers. Yeah, I guess there is an overall six gamer too, if you like that, but there's no featured, quote unquote, featured contest there. So you have to take that for what it's worth. Get into some single entries there. There's not too many big field tournaments, so we'll get into the Saturday slate for you guys.
The comments are already lit.
Coming in with the straight for the jugular.
Yeah.
Marito going for the head. I love that.
Every time I see his name pop up, I always want to call him Waldo. Where's Waldo?
Hey, tell him. You can tell him in chat, Maddie. Let him know what's up.
I should.
Well, Lito about that life.
No, it's fair. I respect it. Hey, got a top 10 pick. Maybe Dallas trades Dak or whatever to Houston and gets Deshaun Watson. That would be the most Jerry Jones move in the world. But
oh my God, that'd be awful.
That would be crazy.
He trade for David Johnson. That's probably more likely. That we can have.
He's not Bill O'Brien.
He likes some running back contracts, man.
Yeah, he does.
Love them running back contracts. But we don't stop talking about the Cowboys. They ain't on this slate. Washington football team, man. No, we got six teams on this Saturday slate for you guys. Should be an interesting one. We got Bills and Colts going on, Seahawks and Rams in the middle, and then the Bucks and Washington football team at the end. So You know, this Saturday slate is going to be fun. I'm happy to talk about it with you guys. Before we get into this overview of the slate, just want to do a couple housekeeping items here. First of all, for the YouTube channel, you know, shout out to everybody who's following along with us at the Fantasy Authority for the YouTube channel there. We appreciate that. If you guys have not been watching them, you guys got to go out and check out these ranking videos that Kevin and Cody have been putting out there. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. For the playoff slate, for Wildcard Weekend, those are live. All of those are live right now. So definitely go and check those out. And we'll definitely be getting you guys some DFS content that you can rock along with this week too. And then get into the NFL Playoff Challenge with us, guys. You can reach out to the DJ Nation pod or the Fantasy Authority channel at FF_authority. Want to get you into that NFL Playoff Challenge. First place is taking home that signed Miles Sanders jersey that Kev's been talking about and happy to give away there. So we want you guys in on that. Maddie, myself, and Kev are already in that. Derek, we might have to send you a link to get in that too, brother. Just being a guest on the show. And then next week on this show, we are giving away signed A-Rob jersey. Who knows? The Bears might spoil that for you, Derek. We'll talk about that in the second show. But that could be an interesting jersey giveaway that we're doing for next week. So appreciate everybody. We got a giveaway, man. Starting off the new year right here at the DJ Nation. So let's get into the slate, guys. And without wasting any time, let's just go and talk about kind of the quarterback position here. And I'm just going to, before I kind of talk about quarterbacks, just kind of talk about these implied totals that I saw. And these are obviously, you know, can change. And I know there's some injury news and COVID news that we're kind of waiting to see for the weekend, but you got the Bills at the top. I mean, Bills are heavy, the favorite. I mean, everybody's going to be trying to stack Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and company there on this slate. Got to monitor what Cole Beasley's doing, but they got 29.5. Bucks come in at 26.75 is what I was seeing. Then Seahawks at 23.75. And then the bottom three are Colts, Rams, and Washington football team, with the Rams not having named their starting quarterback yet. I believe Josh Allen's questionable, or Josh Allen, Jared Goff is questionable, is what they're saying. But the more the weeks go on, or the week goes on, the more it sounds like this Wolford kid is going to be starting yet again, the running quarterback there for the Rams going against Seattle. That's an interesting game. So talk to me, guys, about what you're doing at the quarterback position. I, you know, talked about it with the Bills being the highest implied team total. They're going first, right? So this is an interesting spot as we get Josh Allen. And just talking about price is really not conducive this week. I mean, we got a 3-game slate. You can pretty much play Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Jonathan Taylor, and whomever, you know, and still be fine with defense and the way that the tight end position shapes up. So it's going to be interesting to see these builds. And Josh Allen coming at the top at 7,500. Next highest price is Tom Brady going against Washington football team. That's late. Russell Wilson is the third, and going against the Rams team that he really hasn't had that much success against, if we're being honest, like has pretty much put up some dog shit performances against them. I believe the past 3 games, he hasn't thrown for a touchdown, only rushed for one, and has a handful of interceptions against them. So really tough to kind of trust Russell Wilson there. You get Phillip Rivers at 5,400, which is kind of interesting to me. I mean, you know, if everybody's going to be on Josh Allen in that game, playing on the back end with Phillip Rivers and kind of getting leverage off of what's going to be popular Jonathan Taylor on this slate, it seems interesting. You know, it's Phillip Rivers. It's Phillip Rivers in the playoffs, a place where he hasn't been in quite some time. But we know that he can always disappoint. So that's interesting. But I think for me, it starts with Josh Allen at the top. And then I'm really interested in Tom Brady, whether or not Mike Evans plays. I mean, one of my favorite plays at the wide receiver position when we talk about it is Antonio Brown. I think that the Washington football defense is really going to try and get pressure on them. But we got, you know, Tom Brady's very smart. He's been in the playoffs however many times. Like, he's going to try and get this ball out of his hands quickly. And it doesn't really shape up for a good matchup for the run game. So like what Tom Brady has to do, get that leverage there. And also for the Bills, and Derek, I know you and Maddie, you guys love the stats a lot more than I do that I dive into. But just in doing some research with it being a playoff slate and trying to dive a little bit deeper, I was reading up on how the Bills like to, or the Colts like to run a zone defense. Josh Allen hasn't really had that much success against it. It man is really where he's been more successful. So, you know, a lot of hype has been around Josh Allen of him kind of coming to form, being efficient, and really having an incredible spike in year two here as he's come along, or you know, in his career to get to where he is now, and whether that's Daboll or Stephon Diggs being there, what have you. So he'll be popular, but I'll definitely try and find leverage spots off of him. Where are you guys looking, Derek, with you being the guest, kind of start it off and let me know where are you looking this week to kind of get your builds? Cause I really can't get off of those two top guys at quarterback.
I can't make you much of a conversation to sit here and not play. I mean, to really play a whole lot of people outside of just playing Josh Allen and Tom Brady and just be different with your builds. Stack it up instead of two pass catchers, go three, play for the nuclear game. I mean, Russell Wilson and Jared, and it sounds like at least the last reports that I read, it sounds like Jared Goff might give it a go. He's gotten in limited practices. He's been throwing. So it seems like, as crazy as it is, because dude had his thumb surgerized less than 2 weeks ago, it looks like he's going to give it a go. But that game overall is disgusting. Like, I might just full fade that game. Because wow, both those defenses are elite. The Rams are. The Seattle Seahawks have not played a whole lot of people down the stretch, but they're playing a lot better. And what the Rams want to do, I think they're probably just going to slow the damn game down, which doesn't work out well for Russ, doesn't work out well for Jared Goff. So that whole entire game just feels gross, man. Like, if you want to pick off, like, maybe some one-offs, some mini correlations out of that game, I get it, but this whole slate, I mean, as condensed and as chalky as it feels, I think that the way that you get different with it is be different with your builds with Josh Allen and Tom Brady, because I can't play Phillip Rivers. Like, I get the whole leverage conversation, and Jonathan Taylor is going to carry a lot of ownership percentage for good damn reason, because we'll get to when we get to running backs. But I might not play a team without Jonathan Taylor this weekend for all of those reasons we'll discuss. But Rivers, since Jonathan Taylor has become a thing, I mean, you look at his last few games, his production has dropped off. Like, he's been teetering this year around, like, usable weeks. Like, he's come so freaking close to, like, having 20-point performances. Like, week 15, 17, 17. Before then, he was 19, 18. You go back to, like, week 11, he was 22 points. But if you look at since Jonathan Taylor's become really a thing in this offense, and since week 11, his fantasy points have dropped almost every single week. He's dropped the last 5 weeks. Like, he was 19.2 in week 13. He dropped all the way to 11.4 points. And the way that the Colts could possibly win this game, I don't think that it's going to be, like, on the back of Phillip Rivers. I think some of his pass catchers can have success, but I think they're better off, like, picking out those pass catchers instead of playing Rivers. Because I think that what we've seen out of the whole year, Rivers has shown us he has no ceiling. There is no ceiling there. Like, even for him to get to 20 points, if Brady and Allen go nuclear, which Allen can definitely do that, dude. Like, five of his last seven games, he scored 29 or more DK points. That his floor is probably Phillip Rivers' ceiling. So I don't think that you're getting saving on enough by playing Rivers to make your lineups different where you can overcome being in a hole because Josh Allen or Tom Brady. So really it's those two quarterbacks, and I'm just going to try to be different with my build. So even if I'm playing three max, I'll just run a second Josh Allen lineup and just play it a little bit different, maybe hedge it from how I built my other lineup with Allen. But am I wrong, man? Like, are y'all seeing a third quarterback that's playable here? All right. Tell me who, Maddie.
Go ahead, Maddie.
Please.
It's Russell Wilson.
Why? How? Tell me how. Like, based off of what we've seen over the last, like, since week, what was it, week 9 or week 10, and he went for 390 and two scores.
How is it not when he cost $6,600 on a three-game slate?
And what has he done in the last few weeks, and what's that offense done to show you? Because I know you were on him last week.
Yeah,
I know you were on him last week. But versus this Rams defense, dude, tell me how he finds a ceiling versus that secondary.
No, definitely the Rams defense is legit, but I mean, also – part of what the Rams have done is they've faced some pretty bad pass defenses or pass offenses. So you go back and look at Buffalo early in the year, put up 35 on them. Allen threw for 274. Dak threw for 244 in the opener, first game of the year with no preseason. And then it's just a bunch of – I mean, yeah, Russell Wilson played them twice, but, I mean, he's never really exploded against them. This year and last year, but I mean, he's 6,600 and we always, I mean, what's Russ usually 75 to 8K. And now he's 6,600 on a three game slate where if I'm paying down, like I would rather pay $1,200 more for Russ, a guy who I know can he can somehow get to 30 in any game. Like, this is Russell Wilson we're talking about. Like, he is a top five quarterback. And if he went out there and had his Russ magic, and you're like, damn, Russ is incredible. Like, he finally showed up in the playoffs when it mattered most. And he dropped a 25 to 30 point game. You have to have him on your team because he's 6,600. Whereas if he goes out there and he gets you 17 or 18 points, you're not dead because he's 6,600. But like Phillip Rivers, he's got like a path to like 12 points because Jonathan Taylor can just take over that game. It's just like, I don't know. I just feel like if Seattle is going to score at all, it's going to be because of Russ. And like that Rams rush defense is really, really good. I mean, you look at the metrics and it's because it's a base 3-4. So the all the lines, the adjusted line yards and all that say they're not very good, but then you get to like the second level in open field yards and they're first and second in those. And it's because of how good their linebacker and safety play has been. And it's just the scheme, like you only have three linemen, obviously the line are going to get, you know, a little bit more of a push. Yeah. I think, man, if Seattle is going to do anything in this game, I think you got to have interest in Russell Wilson, and it's a price thing for me. Just betting on dudes at low ownership at a cheap price who are just extremely talented on a three game slate, which everybody, and for good reason, like sign me up for Bills Colts game stacks. Sign me up for that. I am all in. But yeah. I mean, there's something in me that says, why are you not going to play a 10 to 15% on Russell Wilson at $6,600? Because nobody's going to play him because they're scared of the Rams defense.
Well, so the pushback on that is, why can't I just play DK or Lockett as a one-off?
You could.
And because we've seen it all season, dude. One of the guys goes off. Russell, if he gets to three touchdowns, it gets spread out behind that one guy. He showed us who was last week. I know you were on Russ last week. Lockett had a game, and Russ didn't take anybody but one guy with him. Like, nobody has a ceiling besides that. So why play Russ when I can play another quarterback and then just play Lockett or DK as a one-off, and I'm probably getting 75%, maybe 65% of Russ, and there's not a double stack that's viable with him that's going to hit a ceiling. That's my whole thing, man. Like, even if Russ hits a ceiling, you're going to single stack him. Like what has he shown us that we could possibly double stack him unless you go possibly trying to figure out who the shit catches a touchdown versus for the tight ends? Like, outside of that, like, who else is it? Or unless we're going to play the David Moore game.
Yeah, in the counter – well, not even really a counter argument, but my agreement with you is you look at Russ too, and a lot of his production early in the year came from running. So, like, you go back and look at his – week 16, only 9 rush yards. Week 14, -1 against the Jets. Week 12, he had 12 rush yards. But like up until week 11, it was like 42, 60, 23, 84, 58, 22, 39, 29. So like this dude, he does have rushing upside. He just, I don't know what it's been, but over the last 4 weeks, he's only eclipsed 29 yards once. But I mean, he's got that in the tank. And so like, if you want to play him, you only need to stack him with one guy because he can get there with his legs to reach his ceiling. And at six, I'm just, my argument is 6,600 is too cheap for a top five quarterback in the league, no matter what the matchup is.
Yeah.
But I agree.
I get that.
So last week it was a bit different because Tyler Lockett was 5,800 and that was stupid. So it was so easy to double stack him and DK with Russ because of how cheap they were. But this week they're both the wide receivers are priced up to the point where, yes, they're both going to have to hit their ceiling. Yeah, it's you just asked, is there a third quarterback that I could play behind Brady and Allen? And if for me, it's Russ. And it's just because of how cheap he is. If he was 7,500, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right. I agree. I agree, Maddie. Kev, where do you fare in the conversation here with quarterbacks? Because I want to see if you're going to talk Wolford or not.
Well, first we got to hit up the appreciate it TN with the super chat and then with the $20 super chat. So let's answer this first.
Answer that man's question.
Anytime we get a super chat, we got to answer that first. So those are the rules. So COVID has struck the Browns. Do they even have a chance? Which wild card team has the best chance to upset?
I'm going to say the Colts have a really good chance to upset. I think there's a path for it. with the Browns, man, I don't know if they have much of a chance. I'll be honest, man. I think the Steelers could throttle them.
I think it depends on what Steelers offense shows up, right? Like, is it the one that we've seen prior to?
Do we get decent Ben or do we get dog shit Ben? Which version of Ben walks into the stadium?
Ben, or do we get the Ben that was previous to that? Because the Browns defense has the pass rush to be able to get to him and disrupt things a little bit. So I do think there's a path to the Browns. So I think it's likely, probably not. Like, to me, I think the best chance for an upset probably does come from the Colts. At least, like, real true upset. Like, I don't think anybody's going to consider it upset if the Ravens knock off the Titans or anything like that.
Ravens are favorite. Like,
3.5-point favorite, right.
Are we just talking wild card teams, or is this, like, wild card games?
What about
Washington over Tampa?
I think so. Okay.
Man. So, last week's Tampa defense, maybe. Oh, this week's.
So, what's the knock on Tom Brady every time we've had a podcast this year? He sucks ass when he's under pressure.
You guys are about to steal my thunder, because that's what I was waiting on. I was hoping nobody brought this up, because I was about to bring the rain to on Tom Brady. I am not fucking playing Tom Brady at all.
Oh, I'm not either.
Like you cannot. Wow. He's 6,900. He is behind the rest. He is he's 29th or 30th in pressure completion percentage on the year. You get to him, it is good night. Okay, and so like this front seven for Washington, like I do think that Washington can beat the Bucs. Like it is certainly there for them to be able to do it. The question is can they do anything offensively to be able to put some points up here? Because that's what worries me the most. You still have Alex Smith is dealing with a calf injury. They could be mixing in Taylor Heineke. Like I don't know if they have enough to be able to beat the Bucs. But that is certainly
they don't.
And especially if McLaurin is out.
Well, the other thing about – we'll get to it, man. I think their cornerbacks are – and I've heard y'all talk about the Colts are frauds. I think the Washington football team secondary is a big freaking fraud. I think their pass rush makes them look a shit ton better than they
actually are. Oh, absolutely.
A great pass rush can mask a bad secondary all day. You see it year from a lot of teams. The teams that are able to get pass rush, that's why you see an elevated secondary. Their secondary looks so much better. As soon as that pass rush goes away, all of a sudden everything falls apart, and that's why. But like I said, if Chase Young and company can get to Tom Brady, it's going to be a long day for Tom Brady. I may have a little bit. I play more contests than you guys do. I may have a slight amount, but it's going to be much less. I would rather play Phillip Rivers, which I know you talk about Phillip Rivers, and Phillip Rivers doesn't have a ceiling, but if he gets you 20, which is certainly a range of possibility, because some of the things, if you look at, you brought up the fact with him was, okay, if you look at his numbers are falling off. Well, they're falling off because they've been ahead in these games. They haven't had to. They've been able to lean on Jonathan Taylor. And my problem with playing Jonathan Taylor when we get to running backs is going to be they are 7.5-point underdogs. If the Bills throttle them, Jonathan Taylor is good night. And it's gonna be Nyheim Hines. I think he's a terrific leverage play.
He's been a great play. Yeah.
Off of Jonathan Taylor. And so I think Phillip Rivers is a play. It's a three-game slate, right? So we don't need if Jonathan or if Josh Allen doesn't hit his ceiling, if he doesn't score 30, and let's say he scores 22, I think even if Phillip Rivers comes in and gets you 18, 19, whatever, the money you're saving and what you're able to pay up for at wide receiver or the rest of your build, because it could end up being enough to be able to sink those Josh Allen teams if Josh Allen doesn't go nuclear and then doesn't have that. Because he is the guy, right? Like, he's the main chalk. He's going to be probably the most popular player on this entire slate.
For good reason.
That's kind of gross. But I do think what Maddie was bringing up, I think this LA-Seattle game could end up being the sneakiest game on the slate. I think that's the game that I don't think people are going to want to play. You might see some one-offs with DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, but I think guys like Chris Carson are going to go overlooked. I think guys like DK Metcalf is probably going to be much lower owned than he should be. His ceiling is so high but obviously his floor is very low. But I think ignoring Russell Wilson on the slate could end up being something you look back on Monday or Tuesday and be like, the fuck was I thinking not playing Russell Wilson? Like I get it. There's not a lot right now that you can point and say, you know what? Like, why would you want to play him? But if you still look at him last week, even though it wasn't a great game, only 181 passing yards, he still had 18.1 fantasy points, right? Not terrible in terms of a $6,600 quarterback. It all comes down, if Josh Allen doesn't go off, then Russell Wilson becomes in play. Because even week before that, when they played LA, 225 passing yards, 19.9 fantasy points. So he's still getting there. He's not going crazy and putting up the 34s and the 30s.
But in that game, he got the one rushing touchdown that padded his floor and made it look a whole hell of a lot better. It's only one out of his two for the whole year.
That's what we should be targeting in DFS.
He's got two rushing touchdowns the whole season. He just got that one in that one game. Without that, he's got
13. He didn't have a rushing touchdown last week, and he had 18.
But, I know that, but we're talking about the Rams game and talking about how he got 19 points. Six of that came by the score. Past that,
we can't screwed. Take that away. What are we doing points? Here? You can't just be like, well, if you take that away, I can say that about everybody. Like, if you take
Allen and he gets rushing touchdowns like crazy. It's a different conversation. He's got two on the whole damn season.
I'm not saying that that he's my favorite quarterback, but he is certainly in play, and he should be much more in play over a guy like Tom Brady is. And
I think it just depends on Tom Brady. I don't disagree with you at all. Tom Brady folds. He's like a wet paper doll under pressure. He's terrible.
I mean, it's the playoffs, though. I mean, I'm just looking at it like. And how many times have we looked at this just week after week with Seattle? Like, it's just crazy of how they attack teams. And especially, you know, they are going to try, like, Pete Carroll's so annoying, and that's what makes it frustrating about playing Russell Wilson. It's like they want to get out of this game as quickly as they can and just move on to the next week. Like, they are not going to set Russ up in a position where mistakes could be made. And so they got Rashard Penny back healthy now. Carlos Hyde is going to be in there. Chris Carson's going to be in there. Like, they are going to try and control the clock, especially if it's Wolford. Now, if Jared Goff is on the other side.
I think 100% he plays. I think
they're going to try it. They're going to try to get him out there for sure. But, I mean, like, he's got a surgery on his thumb, on his throwing hand. Like, how is that?
On the first drive, or he throws it in.
Stafford's been playing through a thumb injury on his throwing hand for weeks, you know, and it hasn't
really. It's a partially torn ligament. This dude dislocated it and like ripped everything he had, though. It was a little bit.
I don't think Goff is Stafford, bro. Like, just real talk. Like, he's not, because on the other side, too,
Need to do is shoot him up with some painkillers, which is what they do, right? Let him go out there and grip it and rip it, right? It's one game. Like, and you're right. It could go sideways. I'm not saying Russell, like, again, it's not a take of Russell Wilson's lock, but I definitely think he's far more in play than I think what people are going to give him credit for. And I think a lot of people are going to have that mindset. I can't play Russ. I'm not playing Russ. I'm not doing it. And I think you could look back on this because Russell Wilson is still – one of the best fucking quarterbacks in the league, and Russ is still one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league, and he can pick it up on the ground as well. So he is one of the only other quarterback on this slate, not named Josh Allen, that can say that. All the other ones are old white dudes who can't fucking move in the pocket, and that's what we're looking at, right? So for me, like I said, like, I think Russell is definitely in play. Do I think he's a smash play? No, but I think the ceiling is definitely there. But even if he gets you 20. It's really going to come down to Josh Allen. But that's going to be the same thing for anybody, no matter the argument. Yeah. It's going to be, what does Josh Allen do? If he smashes, it doesn't matter. But if he only gets you 20, then this is when these other guys come into play. I think you still look at Russell Wilson and say he has a pretty safe floor comparatively to some of these other guys that you're going to be talking about. Because Philip Rivers' floor is like 10.
No, for sure. It's scary, too. I mean, but he's also only 5,400 in a game script where you think they could be playing from behind. And I love the Nyheim Hines calls. We get into running backs here. Like, he's only 4,700. Like, it just makes such a cheap stack. If you can get him and one of the cheap pass catchers, maybe Pascal, maybe Pittman, if you could talk yourself into that to avoid Tre'Davious White. But so let's talk about the running back position, too, Kev, because I'm looking at this and, like, Cam Akers is 5,100. And, like, this dude is – this is ridiculous on what he was doing. Like, we were talking about this on last week's week 17 slate when I was talking about making pivots, and I was pivoting to some Cam Akers as he got ruled in, and I was nervous about it for sure, but it was a week 17 slate. Like, I was kind of dead in the water. There was some chalk that was going on in the afternoon, and this dude comes back and sees what, like 21 opportunities off of that injury. Like, that is ridiculous. And he's seen like 18, 19 on average over the past 4 week opportunities with this team. And you're like, you're saying, Kev, like, the way that Seattle possibly is going to win is by putting the ball in Russell's hands. Okay, so the Rams on the other side, how do we keep him off the field? Like, we need to ground and pound against this defense, who Seattle has been kind of fraudulent on defense, like playing Sam Darnold, playing Colt McCoy, playing Jared Goff, some of these other guys they've been playing, like these CJ Beathard. These are not all worldly names that we're kind of worried about. And if you're getting a Cam Akers at 5,100 here going against Seattle in this matchup, like, he could really pay that off. And so I'm trying to talk to myself into some of these game scripts or how I think that the games are going to go on the builds. And I'm playing a lot more single entry this week with how the slates are coming out. So in large field tournaments, for sure, like, everybody is in play. But when I'm looking at the teams and how I see the games going, like, I like some of these Chiefs guys. I like Nyheim Hines at 4,700 if they're going to be playing from behind. Cam Akers to control the game. And then J.D. McKissic, he comes in at 4,800. Like, Antonio Gibson's still dealing with the toe injury. If they are playing from behind, if the Bucs can somehow take control of this game and get up to a lead, like, wheels up for McKissic. And my gosh, if McLaurin misses or if he's limited, he's dealing with an injury too. Like, him and Logan Thomas both are going to see a ton of work. So I like going cheap here at the running back position. I mean, you got Jonathan Taylor at the top. He's 7'9". Chris Carson comes in at 5'9". But again, Penny's there. Hyde's there. It's hard for me to get to Carson. Gibson's banged up. Jones is in a tough matchup. But we've seen how much they've kind of relied on Jones as of late to kind of get him going. And Fournette has kind of been an afterthought when Jones is healthy. So I do have some interest in Jones where I'm not playing Brady. And that's really about it for me. Like, I can't by any good conscience play one of these Buffalo Bills running backs. I know people will play them because they're the first game on the slate. People will not be able to help themselves. So they were gonna ownership. I'm not playing Leonard Fournette. I'm not playing Carlos Hyde. Like, so for me, it starts with those three guys who are at the bottom of McKissic, who catches passes, Cam Akers, who should be on the field a ton, and Nyheim Hines, who catches passes. And then I'm going to figure it out elsewhere at wide receiver. Maddie, how you feeling about running backs this week?
Yeah, I am 100% on board with you. I think I may just sprinkle in some Jonathan Taylor just so, you know, in case he does smash, because he can. Like, this is a good matchup for him to crush. Like, but maybe you play Jonathan Taylor on your Russell Wilson team, because a lot of people are going to play Taylor. Nobody's going to play Russ. And that's a way you can kind of make yourself different from the field. But yeah, I think everybody's going to just, okay, let me Josh Allen, run it back with Jonathan Taylor. That's how everybody's going to start their builds. Because there are a lot of cheap options and you can kind of do basically whatever you want. But outside of him, yeah, it's Cam Akers, because he's not going to come off the field. I know the matchup is horrible, but 5,100, that's way too cheap for a guy who's going to carry the ball over 20 times and see 3 to 4 targets. And then, yeah, McKissic and Hines. McKissic against Tampa Bay, they've given up the most receptions to the running back position this year. They're the only team to allow over 100 catches to running backs. So definitely like McKissic there. He's been a favorite target of Alex Smith because Alex Smith does not want to hold on to the ball and take sacks. He wants to get the ball out of his hand quickly, and that's just been McKissick's role in the offense. And then outside of that, if you're not playing Jonathan Taylor, I think Nyheim Hines is the best leverage play on the slate. It gets the same exact matchup. Buffalo's awful against running backs. Any way you slice it, if Buffalo can get up early where this game turns into a shootout, I think you see, you know, it turns into more of a split instead of just Jonathan Taylor out there. And we've seen Hines, you know, troll all the Jonathan Taylor owners multiple times this year. It's for them, really, it's all about the touchdowns, right? So, like, Hines may not have a ton of volume between the 20s, but if he scores twice, Jonathan Taylor owners now only have 9 points, and Hines is approaching 20. So, yeah, I think Hines is an incredible leverage play. And I totally agree with you, Ryan.
Kev, what say you at the running back position?
I don't really have a whole lot else to add. I've already said what I had to say about Jonathan Taylor. I think he's certainly somebody you can look to fade. He's going to have the highest ownership. Like I already said, you know, I think that Nyheim Hines is an excellent leverage play. I do think Chris Carson, if you're not going to play, if you don't want to play Russell Wilson, I do think Chris Carson at 5,900 is too cheap. His involvement in the passing game as well, I think he makes some sense. You guys already said everything I would have to have said about Cam Akers. The guy has been a workhorse. I was surprised he actually got as much volume as he got last week coming off a high ankle injury, but he was terrible. I mean, I think he had like 34 rushing yards or something on 21 attempts. That's obviously not good, yeah. But he is practicing in full. And if he's going to get that kind of workload, like, I love Cam Akers, the player. I think I think that was more of an anomaly than anything. And having probably John Wolford at quarterback probably didn't really help because they were just stacking the box saying, you're going to beat me, John Wolford, which he did. You know, other than that, I don't really have a lot else to say. I do think Ronald Jones is kind of an interesting maybe play that maybe people won't be looking at, especially against Washington, this defense. I think you probably look at them wanting to really run the rock here in this game, you know, to help out Tom Brady. So 5,500, I don't hate Ronald Jones. He certainly has a ceiling. You know, we've seen it this year where he could go off for 29, you know, that 29 upper echelon at 5,500. But other than that, that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, Rojo at 5,500 definitely is interesting on that late slate. As I think the Tampa Bay pass catchers will definitely be popular. I mean, especially we don't get Mike Evans out there, like Godwin and Antonio Brown will both you know, be carrying the late hammer, so to speak. And so pivoting to a Ronald Jones and getting contrarian elsewhere could be nice. Derek, how about you at running back, man? How you feeling about this slate?
I mean, I'll have a lot of exposure to Jonathan Taylor. It's just chalk that I'll eat because I think the matchup is just fantastic. I mean, the Bills are 32nd in second level yards allowed. I mean, since week 9, they're 28th in explosive run rate. I mean, the game just sets up. Like, I think I don't disagree at all. I think Naheem Hines is fantastic leverage. And if you want to get different with your Josh Allen builds, you want to run it back with Hines. Don't play Taylor. Like, that's we're talking about getting different with your builds or go full game stack. Game stack the shit out of it. Play Josh Allen, play Hines. We'll get to other receivers that I love in that game, but I'll have exposure to Taylor. I get the fade just based off of and the leverage play with him. Carson, I want to talk myself into it, but like Maddie was kind of talking about, I mean, the Rams are legit damn. They're a top five run defense, and they don't get credit that they are, but they're top two in a lot of the metrics that I look at as far as adjusted line yards. Like, I don't think Carson's going to have a lot of room to run in this game. I know Mike Iupati is possibly going to be back. Shell's possibly back, so that helps him. But it's been a freaking mess, like, with Seattle over the last, like, 5-6 weeks, what they do in the red zone. Like, Carson leads them in red zone touches, but shit, like, last week Alex Collins got 5 red zone totes. Carlos Hyde has a few weeks ago where he had 15 freaking carries. Like, what they're doing with the running back position, that's just not a game that I want to play with Pete Carroll. Like, I don't, man. I love Cam Akers, though. Dude came back for all the reasons y'all stated. The other thing about it, dude, is that Seattle has been quietly terrible versus pass-catching running backs. Like, they're 29th in DVOA versus the position. They've allowed the 5th most receptions, 3rd most receiving touchdowns. And also, we haven't discussed yet, Andrew Whitworth might be back for this game. They just activated him. He comes back. Even a 70%, 60% Whitworth is better than most of the damn schmoes in this league. So I'll take that as a plus for Akers. If I know he's going to get 20 to 25 touches, dude got 25 touches last week. So I think his path to a ceiling in this game is actually via the pass game. I think if Jared Goff is going to sit here and like, he got the most targets he's gotten all season. And I know that's with Wolford last week, but I mean, if Goff is not playing obviously at 100%, Seattle has been pressuring better. I like Akers, and we talked about one-offs. One of the minis I'm going to have a lot of exposure to is Lockett and Akers this week because I think it's fantastic how the script could set up for that game. But I love Akers. I think Rojo's a really sharp call as well. I think the Bucs are going – all the pass catchers are going to gain a lot of steam as the week goes on going into the weekend. I think that he is a good leverage play off of that because nobody ever wants to play Ronald Jones. I don't even really want to play Ronald Jones, but it's an ownership thing, and it's a 3-game slate. Like, Washington's run defense has been really damn good. Like, they're 8th and 7th in open field and adjusted line yards. They're extremely damn good. But I think that Ronald Jones is in play because of the leverage and because of – we've talked about how bad Brady is versus pressure. The only way they keep him from not being pressured in this game is to run the freaking ball. So could Rojo get 20 to 25 carries and they play slow? I think it's in the realm of possibilities. So outside of that, I get the McKissick call. I just don't know if I'd see a ceiling for him here. I mean, Kev, I know you've talked about it in weeks past. Like, if you go to the game logs, Tampa's given up a lot of receptions, but that hasn't amounted a lot to like big games for running backs in the past game. Like over the cumulative of the whole season, yeah, the numbers have matched up, but it's been a lot of like this and that, and nobody's really like hit a monstrous ceiling. So I just don't know if McKissick has the ceiling in this game, even though I think the game script sets up well for him. But Tampa, if they defend him well, dude could get five catches for like 20 yards. And if he doesn't score, you're probably just like, well, shit, I wish I played Cam Akers at pretty much the same price point.
No, for sure.
Just to jump in on your note on Seattle when they do weird stuff in the red zone, they've also thrown the ball. I just looked it up. They've thrown the ball 88 times in the red zone and only run it 59 times. So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And
I'd be curious to know how much of that was in those first like 9 weeks too.
Yeah. I don't have that. Playing. I'd have to go week by week to tell you, but
no, I wasn't saying that to say no.
No, I agree.
Trying to cue the numbers, it's just been tough to kind of trust them. But as we kind of open it up, you know, for the wide receivers too. I mean, I get it, Maddie. Like I'm looking at these price tags for these guys, and they will go on their own. Especially Tyler Lockett. Like Tyler Lockett coming in at 6,900 this week, more expensive than DK Metcalf. And DK Metcalf, you know, all the talk has been about how Jalen Ramsey's been shutting down number one wide receivers, shutting down DK Metcalf in this matchup. I mean, you know, these guys still got pride to play for. So, I mean, what's to say that they don't go out there and try to get DK loose against them? And when you're talking about he comes in at a, what is his price tag? $6,700 for a DK Metcalf. If one of those guys is going to be explosive and we're, you know, if we're not playing Russ and you're playing one-offs, like by all means, try and get receivers. That's what I'm trying to do, is to make my exposure at the wide receiver position kind of different, because I've already told myself that I'm good on teams where I'm not playing Jonathan Taylor. And it allows me to get up to these guys like Tyler Lockett and Chris Godwin and stuff like that. I think, you know, getting one of those guys is definitely interesting as a one-off. Scrolling down here too, on the other side of the game, like the Rams receivers, Robert Woods is 6,200. Like this dude has a 93% snap share rate. Like this, he's always on the field. He's doing everything right now. I know Cooper Kupp's coming back. He's 6K flat, which is very interesting if it's going to be Goff. Like we know they have a bromance going on there, and he could, you know, definitely pay off that price tag and get loose. And will be, you know, I mean, you're looking around that, like in the mid tier range, Antonio Brown, 6,100. Like Mike Evans, if he plays, he's 6,500. Like those guys will just go overlooked in that game completely. So I think getting the wide receiver ranges in that game in that area makes sense for the cheap guys too. I'm interested in, and I'll open it up to the floor too with this. Like I'm interested to see what Isaiah McKenzie's ownership is. Just had a big week 17, no Cole Beasley is expected. I'm not saying to play him. I just think it gets interesting because I think he will be popular, like to a certain extent, like at his 3,300 or whatever he comes in at on
drop challenge. Because everybody saw him go God mode and have three touchdowns.
Everybody saw him go God mode. If they're trying to play two wide receivers, and I don't think people have seen enough of John Brown, who's 4,700, one of my favorite plays. He's only had one game on the year where he saw less than four targets. So like, if he's going to be out there like this, he just had in a half 72-1 on four catches in a half last week. Like Josh Allen, the great thing about him is I think he locks into these guys and just tries to find ways to get him involved. Or Brian Daboll, to your point there, Derek, if he's getting these guys open, like we know where the targets are going in Buffalo. So 4,700 John Brown is interesting. And then some of these guys, the cheap guys on Indy with Pascal at 3,700 and Michael Pittman at 3,500 that are just going to avoid Tre'Davious White. Like I do have interest in these guys in some game stacks there. And I don't know how many lineups I'm building yet, but I'm just looking at those price tags and they're just cheap guys who I can play. Like I can talk myself into getting these guys in who are going to be seeing work if they're in a negative game script. So that's where I'm at. And then on my Tom Brady teams, like I do like Antonio Brown. We talked about the Antonio Brown, where he fits in roles numerous times on this podcast, and I was looking at the numbers, and in the past 3 weeks, I know this is going to be skewed by the week 17 132 touchdown game, but his average numbers are higher than Chris Godwin's, 24 points to, I believe, 22 fantasy points there over those past 3 weeks. They brought him in for a reason. They want to get him involved, like, especially if there's no Mike Evans there. He's 6,100. Like, I'll have to play some of him. And Stephon Diggs, I mean, he's at the top. He goes without saying, right? Like, he's going to be like 60, 70, 80% on, depending on what
content. We can say he's going to play too. They had a video come out today. He was dancing on the field. Like, the whole questionable tag is bullshit. Like, he's going to play. Can we just say that?
Yes, he is going to play, and he's in play on Josh Allen builds, out of Josh Allen builds. Like, you definitely need to have exposure to this guy. Kev, wide receiver, talk to me, man. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I love Chris Godwin. I think Antonio Brown's a player. Over the last 4 weeks, he's actually leads the team in targets over the last 4 weeks with 33 or 36 over that span. So I'd be surprised if Mike Evans plays at this point. Like, I know they're saying that you know, they're optimistic, or they think that he might be able to play. He got into limited practice today after not practicing earlier in the week. They said he's a true game time decision. Like, I don't know. Like, you feel like if you're Tampa, you should feel like they should be able to beat the Washington football team without Mike Evans. And why risk, you know, injuring him further and losing him next week when you're definitely going to be playing a team like, likely if they were to win, you know, things play out, you'd be playing the Packers. Like, you need Mike Evans for those types of games. So even if he does play, I think he could be very limited. I don't think you see, you know, the full complement of Mike Evans. So I do think that raises, you know, Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown ceiling some. The only guys I want to mention, John Brown, 4,700 is way too cheap for him. And Zach Pascal gets an excellent matchup inside the slot. Their slot corner is absolutely booty for the Bills. So $3,700, Zach Pascal does make some sense there. And so, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Gabe Davis, if you want to go there at 4K to get a little bit different as well on the Bills side. But that's probably where I commit. I mean, you guys are probably talking about some other guys, but those are the guys that I really wanted to hit on.
Yeah, about Derek, how about you, man, wide receiver?
I mean, all the Bills guys, you got to love them, man. I mean, I love the John Brown call. He's going to see Xavier Rhodes on about 50%. Xavier struggles with two guys like that. I mean, basically two types. If you got speed and you could double move Xavier Rhodes out of his freaking shoes, John Brown can absolutely smoke him in this game. I love John Brown. I like Gabe Davis a good bit. Beasley's out. Gabe Davis has basically been their Swiss Army knife. Like, if Brown was out, he's played the outside. If Beasley's been out or he's left early, he's played the slot. So I do have some interest in Gabe Davis. So talking about being different with Josh Allen, I think that if Josh Allen goes nuclear in this game, that if you triple stack him and you go Diggs, Brown, and Davis, you play for the 3-4 touchdown game, it's another way to be different, because the Colts have been good at defending short passing. Rocky Sin's already been ruled out in this game, so I think that helped. Diggs moves all the way around the formation, doesn't matter. But I think that helps Davis if they go 3-4 wide in this game, because the backup for him is TJ Carey. He's high trash. Gabe Davis owns the deep role. Like, that dude actually leads the Bills in deep targets for the season. So the Colts, while they've been good against the short pass, they're 22nd in DVOA against deep passing. So I want the deep role with Josh Allen. I love the Pascal call. Teron Johnson is hot trash. You don't want to attack Tre'Davious White. You don't want to attack Levi Wallace. You can attack Wallace, but it's got to be with speed. I don't think that T.Y. Hilton is going to be able to separate him if he bodies him up and presses him at the line. So I love Pascal. Like, he's one of my favorite plays of this entire damn slate. I think that we've seen his role grow. He's got 20-point upside, and for that price point, it's just too damn cheap, man. I mean, getting into other guys, I'll have a crap ton of John Brown. I don't like Hilton and Pittman in that game because I don't think that you want to attack the Bills' outside corners. That's just not what you want to do if you're the Colts. I'm with y'all. I don't think that Mike Evans possibly makes it a go because Tampa just doesn't need him to beat this freaking team. And they don't, and that's one reason why I'll have a lot of Gronk, because of how you attack Washington's pass defense. I talked about Lockett. He's one of my favorite one-offs or correlation plays of the slate. I'm just not much on Washington pass catchers. I mean, McLaurin, like, all these guys, we haven't seen them have a ceiling, man. Like, outside of, like, we'll get to Logan Thomas, but, like, McLaurin's got, like, Carlton Davis is probably back for this game. Yes, I know the corners have been bad, right, but shit, they pressure Alex Smith. He's going to shit his pants and try to check it down every 5 seconds. Like, He's not going deep to McLaurin. McLaurin, even when he's had good games, what ceiling has he shown us, man? I mean, 17, 14, 4, 3. Like, you got to go all the way back to freaking week 9 versus the hapless damn Giants to find a game where he scored 20 DK points. And at his price point, he's not going to get there. So he's a guy I'm going to fade. I don't have any exposure to. On the Rams, like, I think Cooper Kupp, if you're going to go with the Rams guy, is probably my favorite just because I think the Seattle outside corners are more legit than their slot corner. So if I'm looking at a Rams guy, but past that, it's going to be really condensed, man. I mean, even if I'm going to be stacking other games and stuff like that, I'm going to have a crap ton of John Brown. I'm going to have a lot of Zach Pascal because I really think the dude hits the ceiling. Like, I think he goes for 20 DK in this one.
Yeah, and Maddie, I'm going to toss it to you. It's going to be interesting builds as I'm sitting here, and this is kind of the first I'm, like, looking at pricing for the full slate. I kind of was just going through the rosters and stuff like that. But, like, I mean, just looking at the pricing and the guys that I want to play, like, we're talking about thousands of salary, like, left on the table for these builds that I'm kind of getting to. And so, you know, that's going to even force the Jonathan Taylor exposure that much higher. You know, some of these high-priced guys at wide receiver, like Chris Godwin and Stephon Diggs, like, it's hard to get away from them as well, too. And then as we get into tight ends, and Maddie, I'll kind of let you do wide receiver, your favorites, and then you can start off the tight ends if you want to. But at tight end, you got Logan Thomas at 4.9, and then you got 3.9 for Gronk. And I mean, then after that, you're talking about guys like Tyler Higbee and Dawson Knox, Gerald Everett, Jack Doyle, Trey Burton guys. So, like, I mean, how does Logan Thomas not be, you know, 65, 70% owned on a slate like this, even with Gronk on it, just because you can have the salary to pay up for him? So, Maddie, how you feel about wide receiver, and talk to us about tight end?
Yeah, I mean, you guys touched on all the good plays. I just want to, you know, add a fourth flag plant on Pascal. I think he's the best value play at wide receiver this week. I mean, he's 75% of the Bills, the Colts slot snaps, and you attack the Bills in the slot. It's pretty straightforward. T.Y. doesn't go there. So, yeah, Pascal, I think he's going to end up being the main target for Rivers in that game. And I actually disagree on the Lockett-Metcalf ownership. I think, Ryan, for the exact narrative that you mentioned, that DK is going to see Jalen Ramsey, I think everybody's going to play Lockett instead, even though he's $200 more. And DK Metcalf is a grown-ass man. I don't care who is lining up on the other side of him. Like, give me Russell Wilson deep balls to DK Metcalf on a three-game slate. It doesn't really even really matter who the cornerback is. I definitely want exposure. Definitely, he's not an all-in. Like, it's not like he's a core play or anything, but you definitely want to have at least a share of DK Metcalf, because I mean, he can turn four catches into 120 yards and two touchdowns in the blink of an eye and doesn't even require a high volume. So that's a big reason I like him on a three game slate. And then, yeah, Cooper Kupp. I mean, you guys didn't really touch on him, but if we're playing the narrative, and we don't know who the QB is, but let's say Goff does come in and play with a banged up thumb, I can't imagine that Goff is going to be trying to push the ball down the field a ton. And Cooper Kupp has an ADOT of 6 yards this year. So you legit could see 15 to 20 Cooper Kupp targets if Goff plays. And even if Wolford's in, Kupp saw 9 targets within last week. So, or was that 2 weeks ago that he played?
Yeah, I said it was 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
he didn't play last week. Okay, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, like, I still think Kupp is going to be involved no matter who the quarterback is. But I do think Goff plays, and I think that he may not try to push the ball down the field as much as he normally would. So, I think he's definitely an interesting play. And then moving over to tight end, I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't think you need to get really too crazy here. It really is Gronk and Logan Thomas at the top, and I don't really see a need to play anybody else. I'll kind of toss it to you guys and see if you guys have any off the wall. Kev, I know you're the off the wall tight end guy, so maybe I'll kick it to you.
I got one. Kev doesn't.
The only one that I think that if you really wanted to get, like, cute would be either Tyler Higbee. I think could be a play. It could be somewhere you could go at 3,400. But as with him being as close to Gronk, you know, I think I probably wouldn't want to do that. Other than that, maybe Jacob Hollister at 2,700. But that's about it. But I do think it's pretty much Logan Thomas and Gronk.
So I'm going to throw this guy's name out there, and I'm only going to talk about it in a game stack of being different and how Indy can attack I think Jack Doyle's in play in a game stack. And the only reason I'm going to say that is because Buffalo's been ass against tight ends. They've been absolutely terrible. Even with Matt Milano back, they've been allowing a lot of production. I mean, the second most receiving yards, fifth most DK points per game to the tight end position. Doyle's the only guy that's gotten red zone targets over the last few weeks. Now, they split routes between him and Burton pretty similarly, but Rivers has actually been targeting Doyle. And if we're talking about you don't attack the outside corners, I'm not talking about him as a one-off and stuff like that, but if you're stacking up the game and you go full game stack, I do think that Jack Doyle is interesting.
You want to get – just side note on Indy. You want to guess who leads the team in red zone targets this year? It's not Jack Doyle. It's not Jack Doyle.
Is it Pittman?
It's Pascal. He's got 16.
Wow. Slot roll, man. Dude, if Paris Campbell would have stayed healthy, we could have seen an explosion year, man. They wanted to feed him so damn bad.
Hines and T.Y. are second on the team with 14 red zone targets. Hines being that high is
just like, crazy. And you had my wheels turning earlier, Maddie, with a point you brought up about when we were talking about Carson. Seattle, if you're playing DK, rolling back here just for a second here, their red zone passing rate has dropped off a table. So any of the guys you're playing there, you're playing like you're talking about for deep touchdowns. I know you brought up how much they run, but weeks 1 through 9, they were fourth in red zone passing rate with 65%. And since week 10, they've dropped off a table. They're 15th and only throw in 48% of the time inside the red zone. So if you're playing the guys, you want the deep roll is what I'm kind of bringing up here.
I think
that kind of hurts Hollister as a play, because they're going to just run it when they get inside the 20. That's going to hurt him because he ain't going to get – you're playing him for a touchdown. You're not playing him for any type of ceiling outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, tight end, I don't have much to add. It's ugly. So I can't get to these guys outside of maybe some game stacks in 20 max or larger fields. That I get into. I mean, for the top, I'll just be rotating in guys like Logan Thomas and Gronk because
I
can.
Feel like a 2-touchdown game coming from Gronk with no Mike Evans if he doesn't play, like all in the red zone. Like, could he like just totally break shit this weekend? Like on the Saturday slate, get 2-3 touchdowns? Because I get that damn feeling, man. I get feeling like Brady's just gonna like feed him in the red zone.
I mean, he has been all year.
I mean, Mike Evans has been their red zone guy. I mean. Godwin and AB have had like no red zone roles since Antonio Brown have gotten there. Like, it's been Evans and Gronk.
Evans and Gronk are tied with the team lead. Both have 21 red zone targets. The next highest is Fournette, and Godwin are tied with 9.
So if it's no Evans this weekend, I mean, do we need to just be like overweight on Gronk? Like, because people are going to like gravitate more to Logan Thomas.
I may not have a team without Gronk on it. I mean, he's a thousand cheaper. Yeah, he's a thousand cheaper, and Washington has been.
He's going to be less owned than Logan Thomas. That you can book that shit
this year.
Yeah,
yeah,
they have been bad, and that's where they rotate too. And it doesn't matter, like you're saying, if the secondary is abysmal, Derek, like they're going to find ways to get him the ball for sure. And then we got defense that we can talk about too. So when we get into defense here, I mean, you got Bills at the top. 3,500, Bucks at 33, Rams 29, Seahawks, Washington football team, and then Colts is how it rounds out. I mean, now the thing about defense is, again, like you don't have to pay up at the top. If you see something that you like try and be different, try and be variant, because it might just take a defensive touchdown in one of these games that one of these teams that's going to be low owned to kind of pay off here. So like, yeah, I could talk about how, you know, I like the Buccaneers at the top at 33 with them getting Carlton Davis back and possibly JPP and being able to be on the late slate there. I mean, Bills at the top and Indy going against Phillip Rivers at home, but they have some liabilities too. And they're the first. It's just so hard with the first team, with the ownerships, like they're always just so much more inflated than they should be. And so you're looking at this middle game and like the Rams at 29 or Seahawks at 27, depending on who the quarterback is, like, Those are nice plays. So I will have teams where I'm leaving salary on the table just because I want to play one of these low end defenses as well. I've seen people talk about the Colts at 2,200. I just, you don't need to play them. So I don't know why you would play them. I mean, if they hit for you, great. Like, I'll shake your hand. That's fine. But I won't be getting there myself. I just don't really see the need to play them. And I'll have some Washington football team, but very little, because I do like Brady this week. So I'm taking him, as I think Washington could be popular if people try to fit in all the salary, top salary guys, and use it up. How are you feeling about defense?
The three defenses I want to play are the three cheapest, so that's cool. Give me the Colts against Buffalo, Washington against Tampa. Those are the two defenses facing the two highest pass rate offenses on the slate. And as we've said all year, good things happen when the opposing offense throws the ball a lot. So that's how you get sacks. That's how you get interceptions and defensive touchdowns. And you just need to luck box into one of those. So, them two. And then I like Seattle against the Rams, with God knows what's going to happen at quarterback for the Rams. So, and Seattle defense has been playing pretty good over the last few weeks. So,
yeah, for me, it's going to be 60% Washington, 40% Seattle log out.
I like it.
Derek, how about you?
I mean, for the reasons, I'll throw the Rams in there as well. I mean, I like defenses that do things that, like, score us points. So outside of, like, yeah, Seattle's been a good defense, but, like, looking at, like, how it correlates to what kind of production we're getting out of these guys, like, can you pressure? That's great, but are you actually getting sacks? Are you getting turnovers? Are you getting these things? Like, Seattle's been a better defense, but their fantasy scoring's been dog shit. Like, it's been 5, 9, 9, 12, 9, 9, like – they're not giving you, like, this crazy ceiling. Whereas, like, if we get Goff in this game versus Wolford, now if Wolford plays, then I'm just like, nah, probably not. But, like, you look at the Rams, dude. Like, they have scored out of their last, like, 5-8 games. It's all double digits. They've shown you a ceiling. They scored 20 twice in the last 2 weeks. Even versus Seattle, they put up 6 points and they put up 13 in the previous one. So I think that if I love Cam Akers, I can correlate him with the Rams defense pretty damn well. So I think people are not going to want to play them. I think them and the Colts are going to get overlooked here. And people are going to go and they're going to play Seattle. They're going to play Washington even more. And sometimes, like, if we're talking about these game stacks, I think it's viable to even play the defense with, like, say, Josh Allen and stuff like that. Like, you know, like, go Buffaloes. Like, I almost took down a GPP, like, 2 weeks ago because of that. Because they got up. The other team has to throw a bunch. And sometimes, depending on how you see these game scripts good out, like, say the Rams are truck-sticking Seattle early. And Russ has shown that he will throw the ball, like he has thrown interceptions versus defense. It could happen, man. I think that these other defenses are definitely in play. Like, I love Washington. I think that they could put Brady on his back, like, all damn day. But I think that they're also probably going to be the highest on freaking defense of the entire slate. So if I get them, like, they're 50% on, and then, like, the Rams are 15% and they score a defensive touchdown or something crazy, then, I mean, see you at the top, guys.
Anyway, preach, brother. I don't hate that. I mean, it's definitely, you know, I always think that it's nice to get weird at defense, especially on a short slate on a three gamer, just because we'll see that ownership will kind of congregate. So if you can get some of those paying off, that's nice. I think that about does it for the slate here. Do we want to do the build on this one, or do we want to do both builds on the second show?
We can do it for this one.
All right, let's do it for this one then. So we'll get it in to the $5 single entry huddle for this week, for the Saturday only slate. This is going to be a Saturday only build. And Derek, you're the guest, man. You started off. How we build this team?
Well, I'm sure so. Not picking the quarterback. That's for damn sure. I'm going to start off with Cam Akers.
Don't let me pick the quarterback. Y'all know who I'm picking.
Uh-huh. All the Philip
Rivers. I know Cam. I know the same thing, too.
Who's next?
I'll play Lockett. Yeah, I'll play Lockett because I like him.
So let's just it doesn't matter. Let's play Russell Wilson.
Running back with Cooper Kupp, please.
All right. So was it back to me? Well, we haven't shut up about this guy the entire damn show, so Zach Pascal.
And we could do a whole bunch here. Definitely got to play Stephon Diggs, so I'll put him in.
Okay, so he's going with the flex.
Let's go Gronk.
All right. Ooh, get some good monies here, man.
Jonathan Taylor.
Can we work it? Who do we get? Oh, yeah, Nicole C.
Yeah. Would you say, Derek?
I was like, well, I mean, all we got left to fill after that, after we play Jonathan Taylor, is the Colts D.
Oh, Cooper Kupp.
Kupp.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so it doesn't. So then, yeah, we put a Kupp or Lockett in the flex. It doesn't matter. All right, so that's the team with only Gronk going late. That's very interesting. That's a nice build there. So
yeah, make sure it's very important to make sure you have your late guys in the flex on the 3-game slate, especially with Indy Buffalo being the first game of the day.
Yeah, toss Lockett in the flex.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we got Russell, Cam, Akers, Jonathan Taylor, so rookie running backs for all the money, Stephon Diggs, Tyler Lockett, Zach Pascal, Gronk, Colts D, and then Cooper Kupp or Lockett can go on the flex there. That's the team that uses all the salary, as I was talking about leaving salary on the table, but here we are
You swap off Lockett and you go to like somebody like Rojo in late.
Right. Yeah. You could, absolutely. That's a great move there. Let's lock it in. I love it. That's going to do it for this Saturday slate. We appreciate you guys rocking with us. Hour of goodness there for your Saturday slate, and there'll definitely be a Sunday one. So make sure you guys are looking in for that. If you're listening to the show and you're like, wait a second, they didn't talk about Sunday's games. Don't worry, we got a whole nother show coming at you. But appreciate you guys rocking with the D-Gen Nation team. This is episode 97, the NFL DFS Wildcard Saturday show. Signing off for myself at Ryan_W, and signing off for the rest of the crew here, Mr. Kevin Steele at FantasyRat13, Maddie D at MaddieDFS on Twitter, and Derek Brown, our guest, at DBro_FFB. We will see you guys on the other side for part two as we break down the Sunday slate. And good luck on Saturday. Make sure you guys get that money. Peace.
You think you could tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? But you better get used to the way the war about. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.